Jason Leisure, and welcome to Hallis Intrigue, the Chicago Bears podcast. We're Jason. We are sitting here at the prestigious Arizona Biltmore for the NFL's annual meetings. George McCaskey will meet with us later today. We've already talked to Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. This morning was Eberflus at 7 a.m. over breakfast. What's the most interesting thing you heard at 7 a.m. over breakfast?
I thought a couple things were interesting from Matt Eberflus, Pet, and we can get into them throughout this. I don't need to list them all out right now, but probably the first thing that hit me, and this echoes something that Ryan Poles has been saying, is that the Bears, and Matt Eberflus specifically, aggressively jumped into evaluating the draft quarterbacks. As soon as the season was over, that was first on their itinerary, was evaluate these quarterbacks, because there is urgency in making this decision of keep the number one pick and draft a new quarterback and offload Justin Fields, or commit to Fields, get out of that number one pick, because that's a place to pick a quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you don't need a quarterback, you probably don't need that pick.
Right.
You can get more assets, which their move that they made, trading that pick to Carolina, speaks for itself.
Right.
And speaks what they do is always going to speak more loudly than what they say.
Right.
But Matt Eberflus said it in a way today that if you were to come back 3 years from now and Bryce Young is the star of the league and throw it in his face and say, hey, how'd you guys miss this?
Right.
He wouldn't find that unfair, because he feels like they really did all of the research. They thoroughly vetted that option. And as a component of that, Pet, they evaluated Justin Fields.
Sure.
And the short version of what Matt Eberflus says is the problems around him were the problem, not so much Justin Fields, and that if you fix those things, which they believe they're in the process of doing, at least specifically the offensive line, that is not done by a long
shot. Probably won't be done in a year,
But O-line fixed, wide receivers fixed, now you will see the full Justin Fields.
Well, and Ryan Poles talked about that on Monday as well, as, you know, that by the time they got to the combine, they were pretty sure they didn't want a quarterback. And so that's a lot of film work and a lot of examination that they had to do, you know, I'm sure during the season, but definitely when the season ended in early January and when they went to the combine, 6 weeks later, something like that. They thought that the players, I think the way Poles put it was that the college quarterbacks all had traits that could make them successful in the right system. I don't think there was a can't-miss guy there. If there was, maybe we'd be talking about something different. But, you know, the Bears believe that by surrounding Justin Fields with more help at receiver, with another tight end, with a running back who might, you know, approximate what David Montgomery did, that he's just in a better position this year than he was last year. And then there's this other thing too, Jason, where he needs to get better. It's not just all not on him.
Certainly that's not all, but you can tell where they think the pie chart
is. Sure, exactly. And you know, one of the things the coaches need to get better too. One of the things Eberflus pointed out today was, when they do OTAs, they are going to extend the length of the passing period that they have, because they feel like they need work. And you look at them statistically, damn right they need work.
I think in a way, when you look at this roster now and you look at the year that has led to this, we're in late March now. Mm-hmm. So this administration of Poles, Eberflus, Cunningham, Getsy, Williams, this group has been in place for a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the real work, and Matt Eberflus would totally object to this categorization, but his career coaching the Bears really starts now.
Right.
Because everybody, whether he admitted it or not, everybody knew what he was working with last year, and I don't think he did any better or any worse than anyone else would have done with that roster. That looked like the worst roster in the league. He coached it to the worst record in the league.
Right.
That's, you know, true to form.
Sure.
Now he's got this roster. Matt Eberflus, one of the phrasings he used when he was talking on his own, unprompted, about the free agents was, look at all the starters we brought in.
Right.
Saying very clearly, these are starters. These are not, hey, let's see if so-and-so can make it work. Let's see if Riley Reiff can be our starting tag. These are clear starters that they've brought in through trades and free agency. And he also talked about, Pat, if they'd had this kind of salary cap space, if they'd had these resources a year ago, it might not have gone as well. Right. He didn't think it would have gone as well as having it now, once he's had a full year working together with Poles, bringing the coaching staff into everything. He feels really good. He said optimistic, but you can tell he feels very confident in the roster he's working with now, that he helped craft. And so to me, like, okay, that burn year that everyone accepted last year is over, and now it really starts for Matt Eberflus. Now he has to really show what he can do.
And I don't think we should be throwing them parades for using the most money in the NFL that they had and signing four guys who can start for them for the next two or three years. This is typically what teams do when they're trying to win. The Bears haven't been trying to win for the previous, 13 months? And now that's changing. I don't think either of us sit here and think that they're a playoff team or, I don't know, they're seven playoff, maybe stranger things have happened.
They were 3-14.
Yeah, they're not a serious.
And they didn't bring in anyone that drastically changes that, but the collection of what they brought in, I mean, I think it realistically, just off the cuff, I would say it should be expected that they could be closer to 500.
Yeah, seven games, eight games, something like that. This is what happens when you try to win. And you can tell Eberflus, your point is completely correct, though, that it's not just that they added guys. It's that they added, I think, his kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important when he's got this hit system. You know, when they bring in potential free agents, they go like, hey, man, this is how we do things. It may not be for you.
And just to make sure people understand this, so you might react to what Patrick just said and say, well, aren't all football teams working hard? Aren't they all practicing hard? Eddie Jackson, who's been with the Bears for how many coaching staffs now? Three? He's on his third. He said last year that some of the new players who came in asked him, hey, do you guys always practice this hard, full speed? Like, do you guys always do this? And Eddie Jackson said, no. That isn't what we've been doing for the time I've been here. That is a change.
And, I mean, his OTA. I mean, Matt Eberflus' first offseason of OTAs, he got one taken away from him because guys kept getting knocked to the ground. You know, if he has a personality, and I think it's too early to declare Matt Eberflus as any sort of coach because, as we've established, all he did was take a horrible roster and be horrible with it. But, if you had to say what does he do differently, what is his special sauce, it's practicing and it is finding a way to quantify and qualify how hard a player is playing. And that applies to games and it applies to practices. The thing he does that other people don't do is measures how hard you work. Every team works hard. I don't think every team measures it and grades it and holds it over players' heads the way that the Bears do.
Yeah, and his message to veteran free agents that they brought in, he said, as players get on, they have certain expectations once they've been in the league certain long about how they're going to be handled and treated. And his message was basically, we'll get you the days off that you need.
Right.
But when you're here, when you're on the field, it's got to be full go. It's got to be all out. So we talk about him crafting this roster and having so much more influence. First off, they're actually putting together a roster, whereas last year they were tearing one down.
Sure.
But now he and Poles have been together for over a year. There does seem to be good chemistry, good synchronization between what they're looking for. They seem to be looking for the same things. They seem very aligned. And you see that very clearly with the way they're handling the draft, Pat.
Yep,
you were at Georgia's pro day, Northwestern's pro day. I was at Alabama's pro day. Every NFL team sends people to the big pro days. The Bears had more people at these pro days than anyone. In Bama, Pat, they've got Luke Getsy, Alan Williams, Ian Cunningham, Ryan Poles. They've got Chris Morgan.
Yep.
They've got extra scouts. Like, they're sending huge delegations to this. Eberflus is so clearly integral to their pre-draft process, as he should be, as he should want to be, because his career is riding on it.
Sure. And, I mean, I think I wrote this from Athens, Georgia. The Bears had so many people that they brought their security guy with them. like they had a crew with them. And it feels very intentional, not just because, of course, you want more eyeballs on these guys. But I think it's I think they like how this projects to the league, too, that they are taking this very seriously. Matt Eberflus talked today about, hey, while you're standing there watching players, he likes to be able to see players and see how their hips move and see what they do in person as opposed to on film. But also while you're doing that, you can chat with, a coach, from another team and gather some info that way. You can go, chat with a college coach. He liked the schmoozing part of it as much as I think the actual player evaluation. And that's important because, he's a first-time head coach. Poles is a first-time GM. More information is a good thing.
Yeah.
Whether it's this draft or collecting them for later. I mean, Marvin Harrison at Ohio State, he's not even eligible be drafted this year, and the Bears were among the teams drooling over him at their pro day. That'll be next year, but that'll be very, very valuable.
I mean, that speaks to a little bit of what Ryan Poles was saying of, I asked him in Alabama, why? What are you getting out of looking at Bryce Young and Will Anderson when you know you're not getting those guys? A, you're not interested in a quarterback. B, you're not nearly high enough to get Will Anderson. He said, you'd be surprised. I am always surprised how quickly free agency or a trade opportunity comes up for these guys. So 3 years down the line, you've got a deep book on these players, and he referenced having scouted and really been impressed by Tremaine Edmonds when he was coming out for the draft.
Well, and it was him and also Eberflus. When Eberflus was with the Colts, they had really high grades on him.
Yeah.
You know, and they missed out on him, but you file that away, and you go, maybe I'll get another chance at this guy. And they did. You wonder whether that can work the other way, too, whether maybe if you fall in love with a kid coming out of college, it might be harder to look at them objectively as they go on. But gathering more information is helpful.
Well, and that's something that Ryan Poles is obsessive about. And I think back to his introductory press conference, he was talking about, you know, driving home from work.
Right.
And why do you still plug that into the GPS?
Right.
Because you never know.
Right.
You all the information you have helps you. You know the way home, but the GPS will tell you, oh, there's an accident, or there's a train, or there's a speed trap.
The Kennedy's under construction for the next 7 years.
Yeah, right. And one of the things that he illuminated talking about why he would be so thoroughly scouting players that he isn't going to take, like Young and Anderson, is it gives you a reference point.
Sure.
So you can look back later when Bryce Young theoretically becomes a star in the NFL, you can look back and see what were your grades on him, what were your notes on him, did you have that right? And if he does become a star, the Bears will see that they didn't have that right. But it's a point of reference. You can say, okay, so-and-so, here's how we evaluated him. We got these ones right, these ones wrong. You know, how does that inform our evaluation of this other guy?
This is less like going to a jewelry store and gawking at something you can't afford as it is playing the stock market and saying, and maybe you can't afford to buy stock, but you sit there and you go, I like this one, I like that one, I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later you come back and go, maybe I was right there. Like
it's informing
yourself with something that maybe you can use later.
Yep.
With the draft coming up, Jason, it seems pretty clear to me that offensive line is a direction they will go at some point in their first four picks, if not the first pick. We asked Poles yesterday, okay, what available free agents are there that can help you at tackle? Essentially said there are none.
Yeah.
You know, the guys who are still around are still around for a reason. For all of the growth that we talk about, the Bears believing Justin Fields has left in him, making sure he doesn't get killed is a pretty important part of this. And they haven't done a thing to solve it at tackle. Eberflus said today, well, hey, you know, protecting the interior of the line, that's underrated. You know, you got to be able to do that. And, you know, that's what you say when you spend a lot of money on a guard.
Right.
But they really, really need help at tackle. And if it's going to come, it's going to come in the, you know, shape and size of a 21-year-old college kid.
I think they got to do that, Pat. I think at number 9 overall, you'll probably have your pick of the offensive lineman.
Right.
You'll probably get the best of the offensive line class. You're getting Skoronski or Paris Johnson or Broderick Jones.
Right.
One of those are the main three guys, I think, right, at tackle.
There.
One of those guys can be your left tackle. Braxton Jones can be your right tackle. They've already got in place Nate Davis at left guard, Cody Whitehair at center. You would think Tevin Jenkins would be a good choice to stay at right guard. And I think Poles said this week that that's his future, is at guard. That sounds a lot better than what they had before.
I think it's Davis at right guard and Tevin at left.
Oh, really?
I think they would have to move Tevin. I believe Nate Davis played right guard.
Nate Davis played right guard a lot at Tennessee, but the way he talked in his –
I think they're
going to
keep
Titans.
I believe, if I remember what he said right, I think Nate Davis stays at right guard.
The way Nate Davis was describing it, he was certainly open or wanting to move to left guard. But either way, some combination of that.
With Cody Whitehair at center playing a position that he hasn't played in a while, but was pretty good at.
It has a lot of history, yeah. And I think that would be a pretty good O-line, but that all hinges on, are you getting the top left tackle in the draft class? If you wait till the other picks, and it's very it's very favorable to the Bears to say they have four out of the top 60 picks or whatever.
Or one out of the top 54.
Yeah.
It is. Right.
Those other three picks all start at 54, 55, whatever. So they have one at the front of that 64 and then three at the very back of it. It's going to be harder to find, like, some of the things you really, really need at the premium positions. Cornerback, for example. You and I were talking about cornerback. You're pretty far down the list on cornerbacks if you wait till then, and that's a big need for them.
Yeah, two cornerbacks could be off the board by the time you get to 9.
Right, even with their top pick, you're right.
And you wonder, too, at tackle, like, you know, Will Levis, maybe Will Levis is still available. Maybe you can move back again if you're the Bears and still end up with one of those tackles. Now, you got to be careful doing that because Justin Fields is your, you know, is the most important thing in your building, and you can't, you know, you can't scrimp when it comes to protecting
him. That's where I think it'd be a big mistake. I think they've come this far on putting things around him that they need.
Yeah.
I think just based on need, you don't know who's going to really be there and what will be so compelling that you can't turn it down at number nine. But I'd say just on need, like they've got to get a left tackle with that number nine pick.
Have you hung out at the hotel yet? We're not, to be clear, we're not staying at the Arizona Biltmore, but it's a very lovely place.
It's as good of a hotel as I've ever been to, I would say. Arizona Biltmore is fantastic. Sprawling, seven pools, and you're in a great place. I mean, Arizona in the spring, beautiful weather.
Did you get any breakfast?
No. The coach's breakfast, that's a misnomer.
Right.
That's more of a meeting.
Well, they had food after.
And then there's breakfast afterward, right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a yogurt with the
Is there something exciting about the food you want to say?
No, I'm just trying to get you, trying to get you to open up about the experience we're having here. You know, the Bears will go home on Wednesday, and then it'll be almost all draft all the time. You hear them talking about stacking their boards in terms of who's going to be available. And this draft is going to sneak up on us pretty quick here. What is it?
They've got a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A month from Thursday. We will be here to break down any comings and goings between now and then. Until then, you can follow Jason and I on Twitter. Check us out on the Sun-Times website and buy a newspaper if you can. For Jason Leisure, I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back again real soon.